It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
It's time on Wine Wednesday for California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. My co-hosts are here, as always, Barry Herbst, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn, and, of course, the great Dan Berger. And our good friends, the Franchettis, are here, John and Gassini from Franchettis. What's the full name now of the place?
Wood-Fired Kitchen.
All right. You guys need to get on mics here. Oops, sorry.
Wood-Fired Kitchen. There you go.
On Dutton, and it's one of the favorite places of so many people in Santa Rosa and Sonoma County. You guys are doing a bang-up job, and congratulations on all that. John, grab that microphone. Stick your face
thank
in
you.
It. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. As I'm chomping down some lamb.
Oh, man.
It's used to being over a grill where it's, you don't want to get too close.
The microphone won't splatter grease on you or anything.
Yeah.
Dan, talk about what we're going to do today.
One of the reasons that wine is so popular in this county, besides the fact it grows well here, is that Sonoma County is really, the dining scene is so casual. It's wonderful. We have lots and lots of wonderful restaurants. We don't have the white tablecloth places that so many other cities of our size have, but we have great food, and the food is really served in casual atmospheres. What's really fun here is that you have an opportunity to, in effect, create your own sort of wine bar, in effect, because Franchettis really offers not only a really wonderful wine selection, which is constantly changing and always offers some unusual items, but also pairs it with some really wonderful food, which is never served in a very fancy atmosphere. I wouldn't call it fancy, but elegant in a Sonoma County kind of way.
Yeah, which is a whole cool thing.
Yeah, it's really it's our lifestyle here. It's not. Yeah. It's not. We're not into. We don't have the limos driving up to the cars, up to
well,
the places.
I do, but I have a driver.
That's right. You've got what is it called? Vinny the driver.
Yeah.
I forgot. But this was really. This is a really wonderful restaurant. It's 1229 Dutton Avenue. It's really close by to most places, and it's. And the food is really exceptional. John, tell us a little bit about what we've got in front of us.
Sure, Dan. Thank you for that. So one of the things that we have that goes really well with the wine is our rosticini, which is a lamb skewer that has been roasted with harissa on it, caramelized.
Harissa?
Yep, harissa, which
what,
is a
is
roasted pepper spread. And so that's the red
oh,
on the top there.
Is that
there.
A food geek alert?
Uh-huh. Sort of, yeah.
Yeah. So it's roasted peppers and chilies that are then blended together with garlic and olive oil.
But to say it's not spicy, it's just flavorful.
And it's amazing when it gets charred in the wood-fired pizza oven. So everybody, let's take a bite of that. Yum. And next
Which
to that
one?
Is the,
nice.
The
lamb
skewer.
Did Mike get some?
Mm-hmm. Mike got some, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we have the arancini, which are just legendarily famous. It's a risotto ball that's then quickly fried and then served with an aioli. Really simple, easygoing, great to just so we serve both of these things as an appetizer or as a meal. And then we have our a bruschetta. So this is a mushroom bruschetta. With Parmesan, and it's just really good. Simple again on a focaccia bread that we make and toast that off in the wood-fired oven. Delicious.
Yeah. Ah. Points here.
Yeah.
Fabulous finger food.
Yummy, yummy.
If you're just going to hear a lot of chewing for a while.
Right. It's going to be quiet.
Well, our food is really wine-friendly. Mm-hmm. And everything you are going to drink on our wine list or at home, it will pair well. This is just how our food is designed. It's just so food friendly. What do you say?
No, it's delicious. And then this, what did you pour, Dan? Is this the South African?
Yeah, this is Helderberg, South African Sauvignon Blanc from 2014.
Wow.
Now, a lot of people would say, well, gee, it's an old wine. Well, in a way, Sauvignon Blanc actually is interesting as the way it evolves in the bottle. This is really an interesting wine. It's a 2014, so it's got to be about 3 years old from actually 3.5 years old from vintage, maybe close to 4 now because they harvest so early in the year because they're in the southern hemisphere. This is really an unusual style of wine. It's got a lot of lime and grapefruit. It's pretty dry, but it goes great with food because it's got such good acidity. And this is one of the secrets to this wine. It comes into the United States from a small importer on the East Coast and then is distributed out here. It's really, really beautiful wine.
It really is. I mean,
$17. Yeah.
And is there a difference, would you say, between the South African and the other like wines, vintage here?
There is a similarity to New Zealand, although this one is drier than most of the Sauvignon Blancs you see from New Zealand. This one's really pretty dry stuff.
Yeah.
And really wonderful flavors, and it's getting better in the bottle. I had this first about a year ago. I really enjoyed it, and I held on to a couple of bottles, so I've got one more after this. But this is really an example of how an additional year or two in the bottle really benefits Sauvignon Blanc.
Delicious.
Wow.
Can we buy that here somewhere?
It's available in this country, right. It's available through the importer.
Yeah, I don't have it now, but actually it's something that's available. We buy a lot from that importer, Vineyard Brands. Yeah.
Good.
Now that I've had it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good, yeah.
Amazing.
The intensity of the varietal character, maybe that's partly the extra age that you're getting. More than what you would get out of New Zealand. I think they're a little more muted when they first come out. This has got a lot of intensity to it.
Yeah. See, the New Zealand ones you drink right away. This one you hold on to a little bit.
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
But not for 10 years.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
Lay it down, Dan.
Dan, lay it down, Burger.
No, I would never do that.
Go to franchettis.com. They got a great website. Check it all out. It's FranchetTi. Franchetti's. Excuse me. Whoa, I suppressed a burp there. Yeah.
So how did you, John? How did you do the hummus?
So
that's fabulous.
The hummus is also, we take the chickpeas and then we get those till they're tender. We cook them till they're tender, and then literally cumin, paprika, garlic, tahini. And blend it up in our Robocoux, which is essentially a Cuisinart, till it's smooth, adding some oil to that, and away we go.
Barry, what did you bring? I mean, we're mostly dealing with Italian wines today. We had the South African, but what?
Yeah, I brought a Sicilian white, Grieland.
Sicilia.
It's Dan and I were talking about it. Maybe what you describe as a semi-aromatic white. It's not as intensely perfumed as like Riesling or Gewürztraminer, but it has a lot of aromatic to it. It's delicate. Grillo's the grape. That's what you'll see most prominent on this label. That's from the producers, Tommy, which is a sub-operation of the Occipinti family in Sicily, who's a very kind of leaders in the natural wine movement,
really?
Biodynamic farming. Organic, sustainable, all those.
What's the price point at Bottle Barn?
This is at $13.99.
That's a good price.
Yeah.
Solid wine. We sell lots and lots every year.
Grillo is Sicily's number one white wine.
Somebody take care of the host. I got to taste this. I want to read this on the website. About the Franchettis, John Franchetti, a third-generation Sonoma County native, met and married Gassini in Anchorage, Alaska. Gassini comes from a German family with a tradition in restaurants. And tell the story about Anchorage. Gassini, you're from a German family, and John's a third-generation Sonoma County native. How did you guys wind up in Anchorage, Alaska?
Isn't that funny? So I needed to learn English in order to get any good job in Germany. You need to be able to speak 3 languages fluently.
Wow.
So I decided I didn't want to.
Here in America, we barely speak English.
There you go. That's enough, English. So I had to go to America and study English. I decided, okay, where should I go? There was an opportunity coming up in Anchorage as a au pair. So there you go. I thought, okay, Anchorage is perfect because there should not be too many distractions. You know what I mean?
Distractions, yeah.
So
what are you going to do in Anchorage?
Exactly.
Except learn the languages.
Ski and learn the language.
Cool.
And that's exactly That's what I did, and I'm still here.
John, how the hell did you wind up in Anchorage?
I decided to move to Anchorage to become a chef at a fly-out fishing lodge.
Wow.
Yeah, that was
it. Back to the source.
Yeah, that was it. So I wanted to fly the plane, catch the fish, and serve it to the customer. And so I ended up getting a job at a remote location in Alaska, and I ended up staying in Alaska, and that's how Cassini and I met. But we really met because of somebody in Sonoma County. The Nonella family knew somebody in Anchorage that was in the industry, so I connected with that person who knew Gesine. So I ended up interviewing for Gesine for a position that she wasn't even seeking position for, just through a friend, you know. And anyway, I got the job.
How long were you? Did you guys get married in Anchorage?
No, we got married here, but we were still living in Anchorage.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
And how long has it been since you both moved to Sonoma County?
2003.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And I go back with these two back to the days of Michelle's, which is now Stark's, in Railroad Square. And Michelle's is a classic place that was around forever, and it became a radio hangout for me and my friends. And so we spent a lot of time there, and... Yeah, you know, the food wasn't great. But once these two took over, it became great.
Yeah.
And it was remarkable what you guys did. And then, of course, you moved on to Rosso.
Yeah.
Trevina.
Trevina. And then
Rosso.
Opened up Rosso, yeah.
Yeah. And now you got Franchetti's. Yeah. Pretty amazing story. You got to love it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, well, tell us about the wine program.
So our wine program is very simple. It's a recognition, because it's very hard to, for example, to sell a Helderberg Sauvignon Blanc, right? It's all about staff training, which is very hard work. So we decided our first and foremost is people need to recognize the wine, and that's exactly what we did. We have a Pellegrini, we have a Trecini, we have a Kokomo, we have, you name it, it's all there. So people, everybody has a following, right? The Trecinis do with their Pinot, the Kokomos do with their Sauvignon Blanc and their... And as Zinfandel, I mean, you don't have to sell it. They say, give me this. And so that's how we first and foremost designed it. Now we are adding beautiful new wine with the Italians and with the Germans. We just got this beautiful Riesling in Nick Weiss, which is just very tasty, rich and not sweet, which is always people's... fear. No, that must be too sweet. No, it's not. Why don't you just have a taste? So that's how we designed it, and we'll just take it from here and just keep on adding on.
Unbelievable stuff and a great story. In fact, let me continue here about the story, because John, you were named Best Chef in Anchorage, Alaska.
Oh, yeah.
2 years in a row?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
That was
and that was from the fishing...
So the fishing was my first. That's how I got to Alaska, and then I stayed there by working with Gesine at her restaurant. And then once we developed her restaurant and catering company into a great dining experience, that's when this all took place.
And then you wound up in New Orleans with Emeril Lagasse.
Right. So I left Sonoma County and went to New Orleans, and then was working with Emeril. And so I worked with Emeril between 86 and 94. And
wow.
That was the timing. And then he ended up sending me to a culinary school in Rhode Island called Johnson & Wells. And so from there, I got my schooling, continued to work with Emeril in New Orleans. And then in 1994, I said, Emeril, I'm going to Alaska. He says, what? I said, yeah. I learned how to fly planes, and I wanted to go do some float plane flying and catching some fish. And, boy, these beautiful king salmon that you're bringing in every day got me really excited to move to Alaska. And so anyway.
Do you still fly?
No, I own a restaurant.
Yeah. Ever thought about a flying restaurant? Never mind.
Yeah, we are flying.
Wow. I want to remind everyone that you can subscribe for free to the podcast of California Wine Country, any episode you may have missed, anything you want to check out, and you should. It used to be iTunes. Now the podcasts are on what's called Apple Podcasts. You can also get California Wine Country on Android, Stitcher, or our website at calwinecountry.com. Wow. Pretty amazing. Now, these... Barry, talk more about some of these wines. We didn't even talk about this Bello, did we?
No, we... Griot from Sicily. Yeah, so that's the one, that 2015 Tommy Griot. And then Dan and I have moved on to the Nick Weiss, St. Urbanshof.
Dan, did you talk about the Griot?
Well, just say that it's very lightly aromatic, but it does have a certain kind of a almost a white peach component to it, which I really find appealing. But the really impressive part about that wine is how dry it is after you get the entry is soft. But it really finishes up.
It dries up
dry,
on the finish.
It's really good with this food because it brings all the flavors together. The acidity brings those flavors back together because it's so mouthwatering. It's a gorgeous wine and really reasonably priced for under $14. That's a fabulous wine.
Great with seafood. They eat quite a bit of seafood in the south in Italy, and it can handle savory. Can handle spicy.
This would go good with not very spicy Thai food as well. It does have a broad appeal in terms of the types of food it would go with. It's not going to go with meat very much because of the fact that there's virtually no weight to the wine. It's really very elegant, and I think that's wonderful for the style of wine that it is. Mm-hmm. By contrast, you have this next one coming up is this Riesling, which is just amazing. So I'm surprised that you actually have a dry Riesling on your wine list, but this one really is sort of all-purpose because there is a trace of sweetness in the entry.
Is it Barry, an Italian Riesling?
No, this is
German.
German.
Oh, okay.
German.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is from their wine, but we do happen to carry this wine, too.
Okay, this is from the Franchetti wine list, but you can get it at Bottle Barn.
Right. Yeah. St. Urbanshof.
So we just started adding German dishes to our menu.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, totally right. My mom just passed away on Thanksgiving.
Sorry.
I know. But the good thing is we thought, okay, it's time to honor her. And we made the month of January, we called it Germanuary. And people got so excited. I think... Not even in my hometown have I sold that many schnitzels month time.
I love the schnitzel.
Yeah. The schnitzel. Everybody needs to have the schnitzel.
Yeah, so you guys. Yeah, I'm glad you're doing that.
So the schnitzel.
What does
is
John know about schnitzel?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
An Italian guy making schnitzel.
Yeah.
He cooked for a long time with mom in the kitchen, you know?
Oh, yeah. We cooked a lot together. Yeah. So I never ate schnitzel when I was there. It was so atypical. I was always trying the different things, and finally, somewhere along the way, I'm like, okay, this trip, I'm doing the schnitzel. I'm going to eat schnitzel everywhere. And
explain what schnitzel is to
It's a breaded cutlet, which would be usually done in Ghisini's region in pork. So it'd be a pork cutlet that is pounded out and then breaded with a breadcrumbs. And in many other places, it's done with veal. And so in Italy, it's veal Milanese.
Right. Yeah.
Wiener Schnitzel in Austria.
Right.
And, universal. Yeah.
Yep. Yes. And then schnitzel is, in America, it's called a pork cutlet. And that's how that is, breaded pork cutlet. So anyway, we're doing that now with spätzle and a mushroom sauce. So typically you would never have a breaded schnitzel with a sauce. But let me tell you, people love their sauce. So we went with the flow, and we're doing a great mushroom sauce to go with the pork schnitzel every day. And it's still a hit.
Tasty.
And then we did a roast braten with venison over the course of February and finished that up with the restaurant week last week, which was hugely successful. Another great Sonoma County Tourism event.
No kidding.
So thank you to Sonoma County Tourism.
Yeah. Given your background, will there be a Fat Tuesday menu rolling out soon? Creole, Cajun?
So maybe? we did the Fat Tuesday.
Fat Tuesday's over, dude.
So, I know. Can we just keep rolling with it, though?
So we definitely we did a big feature, and that's our relaunch of the Franchetti's business is on Mardi Gras. And so, and that's a big reason that got me to go to New Orleans was Mardi Gras. Nothing to do with the partying, huh?
Of course not.
No, of course not. It's California Wine Country with Dan Berger, Barry Herbst from Bottle Barn, which brings you this fun segment. Twice or three times, internationally award-winning segment in Los Angeles at the Taste Awards. We're about to find out any day now. Mike, do we know when that is? No. We'll find out any day whether we've won any more awards this year.
Nice.
And then Dan and Mike and Kathy and a bunch of us may be going down to L.A. to accept that award.
Ooh.
Which we did a few years ago. That was so much fun. Hanging around the Roosevelt Hotel pool on Hollywood Boulevard. And they had the ceremony at the Egyptian Theater down the street on Hollywood Boulevard. And, you know, the red carpet. Actually, it was kind of small for a red carpet. I called it the red rug, but either way, it was cool, and we're proud to have this segment winning awards. All right, so our friends Gassini and John Franchetti from Franchetti's are joining us today. They've brought in some great food. We're tasting some amazing wines, and Barry or
yes,
Dan, either one, what is this now?
Oral Glen, Counterpoint, which Oral Glen's an old-time label from Sonoma Mountain. Patrick Campbell, who Dan has known for a long time, the original founder. This is their second label, so to speak, made to be consumed a little bit younger, but by the standards of that winery, that could mean within 10 years, because their main Cabernet is a 20, 30-year wine.
Wow.
Really powerful Sonoma Mountain fruit. And we have this at the store as well, and they have it at the restaurant by the glass. Really good selling wine.
Dan, your thoughts on all this?
Cabernet Sauvignon grows really well on Sonoma Mountain. There's some long history for vines up there. It's a wonderful property way above the old Jack London Ranch. So it takes a while to drive up that mountain road. But when you get up there, you're really above the fog line, and that's really where these Cabernet vines grow best. It's warmer up there. That does have some cold nights because of the wind that goes in there. So there's good acidity in this Cabernet. It's a beautiful structured wine, and it's really dark. I was surprised at how dark this one is. This is from 14, and it's a pretty dense vintage. So wow. That was a really nice wine.
Just beautiful. So elegant, too.
It really is dark.
Yeah, it's pretty dark wine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think Cabernet does really well on Sonoma Mountain. We have some examples from the early 80s that are still holding up. They're gorgeous wines. We should open one of those pretty soon.
So how long would you lay this down?
Well, this one probably would be best in about 6 to 10 years from the vintage.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that if you want to drink a wine early, this is certainly the one to do. The Laurel Glen Vineyard brand, that one usually goes between 10 and 20 years. And this one is a little more approachable. That's one of the reasons why it's available in so many places by the glass, because it's really if you like big, chewy red wine, this is gorgeous.
And Barry, price point at Bottle Barn?
I think $34.99.
Which is reasonable.
Very reasonable for a wine like this.
It might be $31.99. I'm decoding the wholesale price here and using our formula.
During the fires, Gassini and John did some amazing things for this community. I know Heather Irwin from the PD was involved as well. But talk about that. What you guys were feeding people during the fires, and it was amazing.
Yep, sure was. So the opportunity, you know, we could not open as a restaurant. Our gas was shut down. Heather Irwin needed a space to have some sort of distribution. We were able to run our wood-fired ovens because it doesn't take gas and it doesn't take electricity.
It takes wood.
It takes wood. So we were able to roast things in the pizza oven and get some food production done, as well as a place for central place in Santa Rosa where people could come pick up food. And we did it. And we helped her out. We helped a lot of people out. Then we continued that spirit on in Thanksgiving, and then we opened up our doors for, you know, for anybody and everybody for Thanksgiving as on us. And we got a lot of people stepped up and helped us out financially.
And it was free.
It was free. Yeah. It was free. And now currently we're still feeding 50 families about a we do 400 meals a week between ourselves and another chef that Heather Irwin has is working with, and her name is Heather, too, as well. And so between the two of us, we're cooking for 400 meals every week and distributing those out on every Monday.
400 every week.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
So unbelievable.
4 meals a week for 50 families. And so that happens throughout the week, and then it gets distributed at our restaurant on Mondays for people.
So, wow.
Yeah, so it's an ongoing thing. Proud to be a part of it, and glad to be able to help people. Sorry that it happened.
Yeah, you guys really have done an amazing job. It's 1229 North Dutton Avenue in Santa Rosa, and you need to check them out at franchettis.com. Wonderful place.
Good stuff. We had our holiday party there 2 years ago. Was awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
We would have been back, but a winery made us too good of it.
And my wine competition, our wine competition does our judges' reception dinner there every year, and we're going to do it again this year in May, and it's just a fabulous event. The judges, by the way, was not exactly a negotiating point on my part. The judges all said, we've got to go back. So was this an easy one to choose for them?
Barry, what's this?
So we're back to Italy. This is a what they call Super Tuscan blend. Sangiovese, Cabernet, Merlot from Ruffino is the winery. And this wine is called Modus. They're usually proprietary names for these Super Tuscan wines that they just make, you know, kind of a made-up.
And normally these run about $30. So what's the price of
this? Yeah, they can go up to $100 at Tignanello, Sassicaia are famous. This is $18.99.
Whoa.
And Ruffino's a really well-known
name. That's a
bargain.
At Bottle Barn, this is $18.99.
Yeah.
Holy
really,
crap.
Really tasty. Kind of straddles the New World and Old World. It's got a little bit of new oak on it, like California Cabernet might have. But you get the spiciness of Old World Sangiovese flavor.
A lot of spiciness I'm getting.
It'd be great with food. It's great with the lamb and the
mushroom.
It's
got that faint earthy character to it. It's just really wonderful with food.
Dan, expound on this. Yeah.
Well, earthiness is a natural part of Italian winemaking. They love to make the wines really dry, so there's no sacrificing in terms of the sugar here. There's nothing. It's just basically Old World style Sangiovese blended with Cabernet Sauvignon and a little Merlot. And the Merlot helps to soften the tannins. So this wine is not as tannic as a typical Italian would be. So it's really beautifully approachable.
I've been called a tannic Italian before.
Or a salty Italian.
Not sure what it means, but
we have a Super Tuscan at the restaurant. It's called Cito. Have you heard of that
Yes.
one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also from Tuscany and similar blend.
Yep. Similar,
maybe a little more Sangiovese.
Yeah, it seems a little bit more, a little bit drier than this one.
Yeah, I think the more Sangiovese makes it a little more towards the Italian side of things.
Yes.
Rather than the modern style.
And it always takes a while for that wine to open up, for it to be lovely, but it will happen. And I think it's so rewarding for the price. I mean, ours is just as inexpensive.
Yeah. And after it's open a while, it kind of sweetens up, goes well. You can drink it with or without food.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
So you guys kicked butt during restaurant week last week, obviously.
Oh, my God. It
must have been amazing.
Just awesome.
And were you doing the lunch menu as well as the dinner menu? Or?
Yep.
Yeah, so we did lunch, brunch, and dinner.
Wow.
So our lunch menu was the Crab Louie with the arancinis and a brownie. For $15.
Wow.
But that was a triple chocolate brownie, not just a brownie.
Yeah.
And
so the Louis dressing's addictive, so that was a lot of fun. That's always on the menu. So we just featured that because it's always on the menu. And then we do Eggs Benedict. So we did one Eggs Benedict with the arancinis and a brownie, too, as well, $15 on that one. So we had three different Benedicts that you can choose from, so anyone that you wanted, you got the deal on. And this week, it seemed to be Kelly Parsons' tomatoes. We did a Caprese Eggs Benedict, which was the roasted tomato pesto buffalo mozzarella from Rumini Ranch.
Oh, yes.
No calories in that one at all.
Who's Kelly? Who?
And Kelly Parson.
Kelly and what's
so
with
Kelly
her tomatoes?
So she is a local farmer here in off of Fulton Road, and she does hothouse tomatoes. So she's the reverse season from all the dirt tomato growers. And so she starts producing tomatoes. I got cherry tomatoes in January, started getting the beefsteaks in February, and now she's on full blown with their tomato program, available at the farmers markets and Oliver's markets
nice.
Too as well.
Nice.
So she's a great local family. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then for dinner we did the seafood cioppino and or your choice of the cioppino or the venison rosbraten, which was into our German theme again with the red cabbage and spätzle. And then you got asparagus. Choose from asparagus with some black forest prosciutto called Schinken. So and that was just – it was just amazing. It was a great week.
People came back numerous times
just
for the venison. It was that amazing. It was really
you
awesome.
You guys have to be working your total butts off.
Oh, we do.
Maybe nice that's why John looks so thin.
That's why John's
By the way, I wanted to say a lot of people say Gassine.
Uh-huh.
I've said Gassini for 20 some years. John has said both today on the show. Yeah, Gassini, Gassine. But is it officially Gassine?
Well, so my name is spelled G-E-S-I-N-E.
Which is why we all say Gassini.
That's right.
Yeah.
But the E in German is an A.
Ah.
Gassine. That's why.
Okay. just curious. I mean, I've known you a long time, and I've always said Gassini.
I don't hear it.
But I'm Italian.
It's
so
all good.
It's to me, as an Italian, it's Gassini. But Gassine, I like
that.
That's beautiful. Great name. The Franchettis are here from Franchettis. Go to franchettis.com. Better yet, go to the restaurant on Dutton. They are doing some amazing things. Barry Herbst, the wine buyer from Bottle Barn, and, of course, Dan Berger. Barry, what is this?
So this is another wine that is at the restaurant and at the store, Tonti Family Old Vine Zinfandel. We just did a big feature on the previous vintage of this. It's a Russian River's Inn, really old vines. I think some are 104 years old. Peter Tonti's the owner, and then the winemakers from the Gamba family, also well-known Zins. The higher end version of this wine was the overall sweepstakes winner in the Chronicle competition the year before, and then the 13 old vines in that same version. We have the 14 today, but the 13 was one of the biggest sellers of all time at our store. Like 250 cases went out the door.
Dan, tell me why I love this so much.
I have no idea.
Not Dan's kind of wine.
Not my style.
Really.
Too much alcohol, too much extract, too much everything. It's really for people who want full-on everything. These are the people who put the pedal to the metal, so to speak. I'm more into the more elegant styles. This stuff is really – it's got some residual sugar. That's why it's so appealing. I mean, it's really rich and it's got 16% alcohol. So, you know, it's going to have all the bells and whistles.
Wow, 16%?
Yeah. So it's not exactly the style of wine that I'd like to drink. It's after you drink about 2 ounces of it, you're done.
That's right.
Not a shy wine.
Well, what am I getting on the finish here? It's weird.
Well, it's got blackberries. I mean, certainly there's a lot of blackberry components in that. But the problem for me is that with wine, I think it goes with the food. If you're going to eat a plate of food, you're going to have like seven or eight bites. You can't drink seven or eight sips of this. It's pretty big stuff.
Yeah. So.
It is chewy.
It's pretty big.
Oh, so big.
If you have
big.
Good tolerance, you'll be okay.
You guys have any events coming up? You doing something special for St. Patty's Day Saturday or what?
Absolutely. We're gearing up today. We started with our corned beef sandwich on the dark rye with house-made pickles and mustard and quite delicious. So Sonoma County Meat Company does a great job. So we got them to corn up our corned beef for us, got that in, cooked it overnight last night, sliced it up today, and then we'll move right into Friday, Saturday, and do the full-on corned beef and cabbage
nice.
Setup.
What kind of wine with corned beef and cabbage? I mean, most people drink
style
beer.
Zinfandel. But... for me, the best thing is Beaujolais style Zinfandel, and there are very few of them out there. But if you can find one that's got about 13.5 alcohol, that's the secret. Mm-hmm. The lower alcohol Zinfandels really work great with corned beef. Corned beef doesn't want a very big wine because it doesn't have a lot of fat unless somebody made it wrong. I mean, good corned beef. John's entirely right. If you don't cook the stuff a day ahead or 2 days ahead, you're not doing it right. You can't cook it in the morning and serve it in the evening. It just doesn't work that way. Good corned beef takes a little bit of time to make.
We do have cocktails, too. Let's talk about those, huh? So we don't have a liquor license, right? We just have beer and wine. So we have a R.J. Boone whiskey that is made out of wine.
Oh, wow.
So it is amazing how far that I call it alternative spirits, how far they have come. The vodka, the gin. So that's our most sold items. We do these really great gin and Prosecco drinks. I mean, they fly out the door. It is just so much fun to make. And the good thing is you're not toasted after one. You can drink two.
Right.
No problem.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's good.
And you didn't say a word about your pizzas either.
Oh, my goodness.
We have gone the entire hour without to say something about your pizzas.
Well, we've got 1 minute, so make it quick, Johnny.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Schnitzel.
Not just the schnitzel pizza.
Schnitzel pizzas. Now we're talking.
It's rolling down.
Yeah, yeah. So the wood-fired pizza is definitely a staple at the house. We do a lot of different ways with the dough, but we've come a long ways. We're now serving large and a small size pizzas, and then we've got our gluten free that's going on, all wood fired. A lot of great ingredients. We're changing up the toppings all the time. And it's a great way to have pizza.
And we do pizza parties. We do have a traveling pizza truck, a couple.
I've been at events where you guys were there. I'm just getting a 10-second run.
Okay, 10 seconds.
Dan Berger, Barry Herbst from Bottle Barn. Go to Bottle Barn and ask for Barry. He'll give you the whole thing. And Gassini and John Franchetti. Great to see everyone again. Thanks so much. Have a good night.